This is former Auburn football player Danny Skutak, and you are listening to the Abbey Award-winning Sports Call Auburn.
Welcome back to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9. Ryan Lavoie, Cam Berry, and Tom Peavy with you here on this Wednesday afternoon as we head to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line, where we welcome on Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. Justin, as always, we certainly appreciate the time today. How are things in your world?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Doing very well. So, of course, we've got to start with the unfortunate turn of events in Spokane as Auburn falls to Yale in the round of 64. Of course, we've talked a lot about it on the show, Ferg, as I'm sure you can imagine, but just take us through what the feeling in the arena was like as Auburn is starting to struggle with Yale and as that momentum continued to turn throughout that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that momentum really just turned after Chad Becker-Mazzara was ejected. And, you know, here's the thing. The call was pretty severe for, you know, you don't see very many flagrant twos in the NCAA tournament. You know, by the letter of the law, could you have said it was a flagrant two? Yeah, absolutely. But it was a tough call. It was a severe call to make that early in the game, but it happened. And Auburn, it just never really seemed to be the same after that. And it makes sense, right? Chad Becker-Mazzara is the number three player on the team in minutes and in points scored. He's a key part to their backcourt. Auburn had to change a ton with its rotations because of it, and just never got to seem to get in a groove because of it. You saw Yale take advantage with their guards scoring, in the game. Auburn wasn't the same with their playmaking. Their assist turnover ratio wasn't as great. Their guard production just wasn't the same. And, you know, it Auburn never felt like it got back over that. And then in the final minutes of the game, you know, I think it was a situation where, you know, Auburn just hadn't been in that spot very often. And look, they weren't in that situation very often because they just beat the brains out of a lot of teams this year. But, you know, they did seem rattled and kind of out of sorts in the final minutes of that game, and it cost them. They missed free throws. They turned the ball over. They missed opportunity after opportunity. So, again, I mean, the way that game went, it's not surprising at all that Yale came out on top. It never felt like Auburn could put them away or kind of get over the hump. Even when they were up 10, it still felt, you know, kind of iffy in that building. So, you know, Chad Becker-Mazzara plays that whole game, Auburn probably wins, and we're not even talking about this. But the fact that it did happen just led to a ton of problems, and Yale took advantage of them.
How do you process when a team seems to be clicking at the right time, having just won the SEC tournament? How do you process the kind of the shock value of losing in the first round and just comparing it to all the good things that Auburn did accomplish this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would go back to just the fact that why did Auburn lose, right? You know, they lost because they were missing one of their best players for most of that game. It's a little different than, you know, yes, Auburn at full strength had been playing really well. Auburn was not at full strength against Yale, and that was of its own making, right? You know, Chad Becker-Mazzara, you know, threw that elbow, and you know, that decision and that mistake, very big mistake, cost Auburn. But I mean, it's a little different than, like, the other big example, obviously, from the first weekend of the tournament was, of course, Kentucky losing to Oakland. Well, why did Kentucky lose to Oakland? They couldn't play any defense. They couldn't, you know, they could not stop Jack Golkey, and that team, that Oakland team, just wasn't doing anything really complicated on offense. They were just lighting them up with, and they were hitting shots. But that's what we had seen from Kentucky down the stretch in the season. That's what we had seen from Kentucky all year. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yes, Auburn did play really well to end the regular season and you know, win the SEC tournament. Great accomplishments. You know, they lost that game, but they weren't the same game. They weren't the same team against Yale because of what happened to Chad Becker-Mazzara. And so should Auburn have overcome that? Yeah. I mean, they had the talent to do so. They had the opportunity to do so. But it is different. It's not like saying, hey, you know, because there will be a tendency to be like, well, you know, what Auburn did towards down the stretch, that was all kind of fool's gold. You know, we got suckered in by a team that wasn't really that good. it's easy to say that if you're playing the results, but you got to look at the context of when it happened. So Auburn basketball team was playing really, really well. They were not the same in the Yale game, and it cost them. And you know, I think that's the thing. This team did have a really good year. They had, this is probably the best, analytically, it's probably the best team Auburn has had under Bruce Pearl. Best team they've had in a very, very long time. And they won a title, and they're going to get a banner, and they're going to have rings. And like that, that is good. And I think that's deserving for a team that played that well for most of the season. The problem is that the losses they have were very notable, and people are going to, you know, point out the problems that they need to fix from those games. But don't let it take away what they did. This was a very, very good Auburn basketball team that had a big-time ejection happen to them in the first, early in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They played a Yale team that couldn't miss at times in that game, and they got bit by the upset bug. That doesn't take away what they did the week before or the months before that had them to be one of the better teams Auburn's had, you know, in the modern history of its basketball program.
So now looking ahead, or looking forward, I guess you'd say, obviously Katie Johnson has already made his announcement that he's heading to the transfer portal. Did that come as a surprise to you? And then also kind of your general thoughts on what you think this roster may look like, and what some of the other moves might we look forward to?
Yeah, no, it didn't surprise me. Katie's got one more year left. He had played a backup role to Denver Jones. And look, if Katie wants to play more minutes, there are plenty of options to do that elsewhere. You know, and I think Auburn is going to look at potentially upgrading its backcourt this offseason on the offensive side. You look at the players they've targeted in the transfer portal, a lot of them are off-ball guards, a lot of them are high-scoring guys. Look, Katie Johnson is a lot of things, and he did a lot for Auburn. He is not a high-scoring guard. He is, you know, the energy guy, the defense guy. You know, he can score, but he's not the efficient shooter and scorer that some of these guys they were targeting with. Or like, say, for example, a guy like Denver Jones, a guy like Chad Beckham-Mazzara. So playing time wasn't going to be as plentiful for him again next year, so it makes sense that he might be looking for an opportunity elsewhere. So it didn't surprise me that was the move to make. And we will see. There are other guys on this roster that have decisions to make of like, hey, do I come back in a reserve role or do I want to go somewhere else and, you know, try my hand elsewhere? There's a number of spots on the team where they could do that, and Auburn's got to be prepared for those departures. So they've already been hard at work in the portal. Obviously, Jenai Broom's decision is going to be pretty big. I would be surprised if Jenai Broom came back to Auburn just because he, you know, I don't think his stock's ever going to be higher than it is right now. He had a phenomenal year. He was an All-American. So, you know, where do they counter off of that? But we've already seen Auburn target a lot of guys who are really good scorers in the transfer portal on the off-ball guard spot. They've targeted a point guard or two, or a guy who can play point guard or two, maybe a center, several guys who could play that stretch four spot. That, you know, Jalen Williams is vacating. I think Chaney Johnson has the potential to be a really good player for Auburn there next year. They just need another one. So, you know, all that to say, like, I do think Auburn's roster is going to look different next season, but we need to kind of see who's all staying and who's all going before we figure out, like, hey, here's who they're going to target. Here's what they look like. Right now, I would imagine them bringing in another off-ball guard, a scoring option to help boost that backcourt. I would imagine something's going to happen at point guard, whether it is a transfer or some sort of position change or role change or something like that, because you're bringing in Tahad Pettiford with two young point guards already on the roster. And I think your front court is going to look very different because you could end up losing, you know, both of those guys who were key starters and maybe some other pieces.
Ferg, right now with those two recruits, again, Howard and Pettiford coming in, we know that Berman and Williams had the leave. We know what Johnson's in the portal. What is the projected scholarship allotment looking like for Auburn? How many will they have to work with?
Well, you get 13, and you know, Auburn didn't – it's hard to use all 13 of them. It's hard to play all 13 guys. I mean, Auburn has the deepest, you know, rotation in major college basketball, and they play 10 guys this season most of the year. So, you know, you have a lot of flexibility to play with, and you know, for Auburn, it's just, I think it's going to be more of role than number. You know, right now you're losing, you know, two guys in Jalen Williams and Leo Berman for sure. KD's the third one. You're bringing in two guys in the high school ranks. So you could easily see, well, if you're going to go like for like, you can go add somebody else here. But yeah, I think, you know, you got other decisions to make. Like, does Chris Moore come back? Does Dylan Carwell come back? Does Jenai Broome come back? Do both of your point guards come back? Do you have, you know, any other options? Because there's usually a surprise or two in the portal every year. And, you know, I think Auburn's no exception. So they got plenty of room. They got plenty of flexibility. And I think, you know, you look at who they've targeted in the portal so far, they're kind of weighing out all their options. Obviously, like I said, with Johnson in the portal, that off-ball guard spot's been where most of their concentration, you know, has been. But they've kind of sprayed the board a little bit. There's some guys who can kind of play a little bit of everything out there that they've at least reached out to. And so I think they're going to be flexible in that regard.
Talking to Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer today on Sports Call. So, Ferg, let's talk football real briefly with spring practice continuing on, getting a kind of towards the second half of spring practice now. I've seen a lot of commentary about the likes of Cam Coleman, maybe even a Robert Lewis stepping into that wide receiver room. Just how pleased is the coaching staff at this point with that wide receiver room?
Yeah, I think they know that they have a long way to go, but I do think they feel like they're better. Cam Coleman is different. I mean, I sit here and say expect 1,000-yard receiving season for him, but you also got to think, like, look at what Auburn's been doing at wide receiver these last few years. For Auburn to be better out wide, the bar is not very high. And that's not to take anything away from Cam Coleman or Perry Thompson when he comes in. Bryce Kane's had a good spring. Malcolm Simmons is coming in. Robert Lewis, the transfer from Georgia State, I think he could play a good bit right away, obviously, as an experienced guy. It's just for Auburn, it's like, you know, they need to take a step forward on offense. They've gotten better on paper in the wide receiver room, but it's just going to be like, how much better are they? I do think that wide receiver group has the potential to be one of the better ones Auburn's had in a while. And I think these young guys at wide receiver are going to have an opportunity to play right away and kind of build something special here for Auburn, you know, potentially down the road. So I think that, yeah, like I said, that wide receiver room, I think they've had a really good spring. They got a long way to go. Don't expect miracles out of this crew, but improvement, absolutely. I think they're just very talented guys. And again, you're not working with, you know, a very high bar that you got to clear when it comes to being better out wide this season.
And then, of course, opening day tomorrow across Major League Baseball. And, of course, the Braves will have to wait one extra day to play the Phillies. What are you looking forward to most with the Atlanta Braves this year?
I mean, I think this is a team that's clearly one of the best rosters, if not the best roster in baseball. Once again, I think it's kind of like the thing with what we were talking about with Auburn basketball. Like, you know, Auburn, the Braves, the last two seasons, you know, they fall short in the playoffs to the Phillies. You know, that sucks. It stings. Fans are frustrated about it, obviously. But like it shouldn't take away from the fact that this has been a real dynasty when it comes to winning your division, dominating the regular season. That's really, really good. And I think very similar to college basketball, postseason baseball is just a different animal. And you want to make adjustments and you want to learn from the mistakes of your past so you can be better the next time it comes around. But, you know, it's like Auburn basketball, it's pretty good to be awesome in the regular season because that puts you in the best position to succeed down the stretch. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to another great season, with the Braves. I think the fact that you got this core that's all pretty young for the most part, locked down to deals for the long term, is really, really fun. I love seeing Adam Duvall back on the team. I have hopes for Jerick Linick to be, you know, a guy that can kind of be like Orlando Arcia last year and, you know, like, hey, man, you used to be the top prospect in baseball. Maybe the fact that you don't have as much pressure on you can kind of unleash you. That's what we saw with Arcia. I'd love to see it with Kalenic. But I mean, yeah, this is a fun team. You know, obviously they're gonna have a lot of firepower, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this kind of rotation settles out. Got a lot of options. I love Chris Sale. I've been a fan of his for a while, so I'm glad to see him with the Braves. And I just think this can be a really, really fun team. And we'll see what they do in September and in October. But, you know, until we get there, I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
He's Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. Ferg, as always, please let our listeners know what will be going on with the Observer here in the coming days.
Yeah, you can go to auburnobserver.com and check it out. We've got kind of a weird schedule this week. We had a little football, a little basketball. Bruce Pearl's going to talk tomorrow. We kind of rearranged everything. The mailbag's coming back. That'll be out tomorrow morning. We'll have a podcast over the weekend talking football and basketball as well. So a whole lot going on in the Observer. We're still running a special. It's just $5 to sign up and subscribe. And, yeah, we talked a lot in this interview about, you know, what the basketball team's doing with their roster and the kind of moving parts and the targets out there. If you want the whole view of that, if you want to kind of dive deep into who Auburn's looking at in the portal and what the roster can end up looking like, we've got a roster tracker on the website just for our subscribers. So go to auburnobserver.com, click on it, subscribe, and you'll have access to all that. And we're going to try to keep that updated as much as possible. I think there's 14 or 15 guys already on the board for Auburn that, you know, you can check out there.
He is Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. Again, Ferg, as always, we certainly appreciate the time, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yep, see ya.